Thank you. And thank you for the leadership team and Matt for praying. And Matt mentioned in his prayer that his prayer was that we would leave here today encouraged. And I really do hope that's the end result. But to begin with, you may not feel like I'm trying to encourage you, but I'm trying to be real. I want you to know, if you've seen the title of my message today, you may be wondering a little bit about where I'm going with all of this, okay? When I just say under attack, it leaves it pretty wide open, doesn't it, okay? But my concern today is that we have been speaking quite a bit about the last days, or some would call it the end times, and what we may be facing. But I want to talk about a little bit more than just that today, but I do want you to know that as we look at the things that are happening and we see them beginning to really come into focus, that it appears that we can tell very close what times we're living in, that the powers of darkness and the forces of evil appear to be getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Would you agree? Okay. Well, we need to know that if you're a new Christian or you've been around a long time in your walk with the Lord, there's some things that we sometimes maybe forget, and I just want to remind us of a few of those today. When you enter into a relationship with our Lord and Savior, and you become one of His, I hope you know that you've just entered in to a battle zone. Things are happening around us all the time that are trying to attack us as God's people. And it's going to get worse and worse. Does that sound encouraging? Probably not. Okay? But I want you to know there is going to be a lot of encouragement towards the end of this message. But in the meantime, we need to know what it is we need to be encouraged about. Okay? And I suspect this week that you have realized, or at some point through the week, maybe even on a daily basis, that the enemy is real, he's alive, and then he is attacking each one of us in some way or another. It's been said that if Satan hasn't given you any trouble this week, it may be because you're doing exactly what he wants you to do. Okay? But I hope that's not the case. Okay? I'm going to be looking at a few different scriptures this week, but one thing, I read a story about a man that entered the military in the U.S., and he was going through training, and a lot of it was strenuous training, very strenuous, to the point where he even felt like it wasn't necessary. And then he moved on into armaments and different things where he had to practice his shooting and different things, and that part he kind of enjoyed. He enjoyed the part of being able to sharpen up his skills as a marksman. I've done some of that. I enjoy shooting, I do. But one thing he said he realized, that was all nice and great, but he said when he got to the battlefield, and he said it was totally a new thing and something different when the bullets were coming back at him. You see, he was just shooting at a target before. But when the bullets started coming his way, he realized the seriousness of what he had just stepped into. And I want you to know today, as a Christian, excuse me, as a Christian, when you became one of his, you have just stepped into a battlefield. Okay? The battle is real. I hope you know how serious it is. I hope you know that you can't win this battle on your own. You know, there were many soldiers that went into war hoping to see the victory that died in the battlefield. They were never able to see the victory. But nonetheless, If you were on the winning side, you were part of that victory. Okay? I want you to know today, as Christians, we are in a battle, and we already know the victory is won. Isn't that encouraging? Okay? But I want you to know, before we understand how we're to fight this battle, there's some things we need to understand, and that is, first of all, that we need something to fight with. We're going to look at some of that today, okay? I don't really like all the time using necessarily the word fight, because I don't like people fighting. Do you? I don't enjoy that. And I know it never happens in this church. But listen, there's always a battle to be fought. I remember one time when I seen a fella, it was in a actual movie, and they were in a war, and he asked the other fella, he said, "Who are we going to fight when this war is over?" And he said, "There's always someone to fight." It never ends, right? It just seems like it never ends. Listen, Satan doesn't want it to end, but it is going to end, okay? So today what I want to look at, though, I just want to read a verse to you here in just a moment. But before I do that, I just want to get something very clear with you today, because it could be a bit of a hard sermon today, okay? What I am seeing so often now, when I watch different churches, different pastors, different preachers, mega churches, all different sorts of things going on, I see a movement that concerns me. And the movement is, and you've heard this term, churches that are seeker-friendly. How many of you know what that even means? Okay, a few of you? Let me tell you what they're doing. They have put out the word that they want people to survey people and find out what it is they want to hear when they get to church and what they're looking for in a church service. Doesn't sound bad, does it? But let me tell you, I want to read you a verse, and I want you to know it is very serious, okay? And I'm going to read you, before we start, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to begin in verse 2. It's not in the scripture here on the screen today, but I want to read it first. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears." I want you to know today, I'm not here to scratch your ears for you. It's not my job. It's not what I want to do. Okay? "Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." We'll pick who we want to say what we want to say to make us feel good. I think that's very destructive, because it's misleading people in a way that doesn't help them realize the battle we're in is real. Okay? "And they will turn their eyes away from the truth." I hope we never do that. "And be turned aside to fables." I see a lot of fables in the pulpit today and in the churches. "But you will be watchful in all things." Endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. God has a ministry for every life in here today. And I hope you realize that. And God will help you fulfill it. But let's turn to our lesson today. Now, I want you to know, you're going to find in life, and I'm sure you already have, that you're going to continually be dealing with some struggles in your life. I don't care who you are. If I were to ask you today and you were openly honest with me, I'm sure you could tell me some struggles that you're having right now in your life. And that includes me. Just because we stand up at the front and we teach the word, I want you to know We as elders, pastors, we have our struggles. Okay? It's a battle that we're in. But some of the struggles that we have are struggles that Christ even said that we are going to be dealing with. I just want to read for you, just so we make a clear distinction of the battle that we're talking about today. Okay, so we don't get them mixed up. And I'm going to read to you John chapter 16 and verse 23. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that know that in me you may have peace." I want each one of you to leave here today with peace, okay? "In the world you will have tribulation." Does he say, you'll probably have a few problems through your life? He says, in this world you're going to have tribulation. So understand, there's a different thing I'm going to be talking about today. There are some things that's just going to happen to us in this world. Some of it's to no fault of our own. Some of these troubles, would you agree, we bring on ourselves. We do. I mean, I do things every once in a while, and I'll say, "Kurt, I got to shake my head. Why did you even do that? Look at all the trouble you've caused for yourself, and maybe collateral damage to other people." Okay? We don't want to do that, but it says here that you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay? It's already been overcome. But in the meantime, folks, we're still in the battle. I want you to know Jesus has already won the victory through his blood on the cross. For those of you who have put your trust in Jesus Christ, but we're still in a battle. And that's what I want to look at today, because we don't want a bunch of wounded soldiers running around. We don't want it. We want healthy soldiers. And be very careful, people, that we do not shoot our own soldiers in the back. I hear it, I see it, I feel it, I know it's real. We don't need to be doing that. I want you to know we need each other. Whatever you have to offer, whatever God has gifted you with, whatever talent you have, we need it. We're in a battle. But I want to focus on something today a little more focused on you and I as individuals, as Christians. Okay? So, understand we are under attack. Okay? We're under attack and we need some things. So let's turn to point number one, if you have it on the screen. Allison, did you find that? Where is Allison? Is she here? Oh, okay. I thought we were going to have a picture up. Okay, that's fine. Okay. But when you see some of these things starting to happen, I want you to know there's things you can do about it. One of the things we're going to look at this morning is if you are experiencing sudden or an extreme onslaught of various troubles, losses, and trials. There may be a time in your life that you've already experienced these things where you're saying, man, when it rains, it pours. If anything can go wrong, it has. It does. It will. To a point where you just can't even understand how so many things can go wrong. Okay? But sudden trials come upon us, yes. But when we see things begin to happen to us as individuals, we may need to ask some questions. Okay? And I put up Job 1 and 2. I'm not going to get into the whole book of that. I'm sure you know the story. If there's anyone that went through a bunch of troubles and all of these things, it just seemed like it just came wave on wave on wave of problems for Job. But what was happening? Satan said, you know, I know your people. I know how they are. As long as you are giving them everything they want, and they can keep all their possessions, and they can have, you know, a great family life and a big bank account and nice cars and lots of land and all these things. Sure, they'll serve you then. But you just let me attack one of them, and I'll show you how soon they'll quit serving you. God said, okay, I'll tell you what. I got a guy. Name is Job. I'm going to let you pull some things on him. But one thing I will not do is let you take his life. But you can do a lot of other things to him. Go ahead and try him. And you notice as Satan began to pour out all of the things he could, all the fiery darts, all the things he could throw at Job, the kind of things that went on. Job even couldn't understand what was going on. But he had friends that knew what was going on in his life, didn't he? Who was it that said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? This will all be over. Anybody remember? His wife. Sometimes the closest people to us are full of advice, and that's okay. But don't forget that we may not have all the answers for everyone else. When you see things going on in people's lives that's wrong, how many times have you heard people say, or maybe you said it yourself, well, it's their own fault. Well, was this Job's own fault? No, it wasn't. Okay? Job was dealing with some major, major things. He was a rich man, a wealthy man. He had a great family life. He had, you just think about it, he was a man that had it all going for him. And then one by one, bang, 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 it was gone. Okay? What are we going to do if that happens to me and you? Do you realize that what we have today, we may not have tomorrow? It could be gone, just like that. Okay? So, when these things begin to happen, what you will notice is that Satan is going to work really hard to convince you that God doesn't care. Why are you praying to someone that would let all of these things happen to you and me? Okay? We begin to question things. But I want you to know God will never allow the enemy, remember this, never allow the enemy to have full control. He will not. Okay? We will face many battles in this world, but we can always trust in our mighty God to shelter us through it all. That's what we want to look at. So, you may face all kinds of extremes, troubles and losses. But number two, there can be acts of physical danger. How many of you have, I've heard stories of from some of you even, that have said, I come this close to dying. Okay? I'm sure many of you have experienced it. If you haven't, you probably know people that have experienced it. I've experienced it. I'm sure you have. I almost died with an airplane crash. Almost had my neck broke. And I often wonder why I didn't die. Well, I do know why. God was not finished with me yet. And if you're still alive, God is not finished with you. You have work to do. You're in an army. We're in a battle. We need you. Okay? There could be attacks on you physically. There could be life-threatening loss. There could be times when you are very sick, very ill, and we see how that can affect us. And just remember, Satan will use every opportunity he can to take advantage of those times in our life. So, remember Daniel. Daniel was facing some serious problems when he got to the lion's den. Now, how many of you here have ever thought about what that would be like? Let me say this. The Bible says very clearly that Satan goes to and fro, back and forth across the earth. To do what? Seeking what? Whom he may devour. I don't know what you know about lions or what you know about wolves. I'm no expert on them, but there's a few things I know. One thing you'll notice about a pack of wolves is they love to single one of them away from the group. If wolves are attacking a herd of elk, they're looking for the weak, the vulnerable, and the ones who stray away from the herd. If you think that you can just stray away from God's people, you can stay home from church Sunday after Sunday, and I'll do just fine on my own. I don't need the church. I don't need God's people. Let me know. You're one of the number one targets for Satan. That's the way a pack of wolves operate, and he's no different. And another thing, I do know this about lions. They love to work in the dark. Lions love to work. You can go around where there's lions, and they'll be sitting around yawning, and, oh, nice putty tat. But let night hit, and they're beginning to get hungry, and they're looking for something to devour. And another thing I know about a lion that's the same as Satan, and that is he's always looking to get a hold of your territory. He is looking for a foothold in any area of your life that he can get a hold of. And once he's got it, you really have a problem. Because only through God's power and his might can you get it back. Or it will plague you forever. But thank God, he can help us get it back. Okay? Daniel, when he faced the lion, just a couple things I want to mention so we can move along. The ones that put him in there thought that they had shut Daniel up forever. But what did God do? He closed the mouth of the lions. Did you know that God is closing the mouth of some of our enemies today? He's still doing it. Okay? We'll move along quickly. When you get to the time in your life where you're feeling attack on you, on your life, and you get so low in such a dark place that all of a sudden you are tempted to move towards sin. Many of us have been saved at a time when we were at a dark place. We've already experienced a lot of dark things in this world. But Satan remembers where you were the weakest and where he had the most effect in your life. And when you get down in these times, if you're not armored with God's armor and you're not ready and not prepared for the battle, Satan will always come in and try to take you to those areas in your life that you're most weak. Remember Jesus when he went into the wilderness? He had been fasting. He was weak. He was hungry. When did Satan show up? Right then. If there's ever a chance I'm going to get this guy, Satan is thinking, now's the chance. What did Jesus do? He used Scripture and stepped right over Satan. And God gave him strength to continue on. And that's the way it is for you and I. Okay? Matthew 1, do we have it up there? Or 4? Okay, that's the story I'm talking about. If you want to take note of that, okay? Then we'll go on to 4. I've got a few more. We'll keep moving quickly here. When you're feeling, now here's one that I know probably a lot of you have certainly dealt with, and it's feelings of overwhelming despair. Okay, so there's Jesus. You got time, you can go home and read that. I'm sure you're familiar with that. But the next one, number 4, have we got number 4? No? Okay, I'll keep moving. Number four is feeling of overwhelming despair, darkness, and fear. Let me ask you, have you ever got to a place in your life, just be honest, where you have been completely overwhelmed? You just, so, yeah, okay, Barb? Barb's the only one, that's good to know. Anybody else? Okay, lots of us, just overwhelmed with everything. We just feel like we don't know what to do. We don't know who to turn to. You may have called on some of your friends. They couldn't help you. Or maybe, if it's a physical thing, doctors couldn't help you. They don't know what to do. But it brings such overwhelming despair. You don't know where to turn, what to do. And fear sets in. And I want you to know something. I heard this a couple of weeks ago, and this has really stuck with me. I know a pastor that I listen to once in a while, and he said one time he was at an extreme low in his ministry, extreme low. And him and his wife were on a flight to Hawaii just to get away from things for a while. Doesn't sound too bad to me, but anyway, it was the events before that, all right? Anyway, he said his wife looked at him and said, is there something wrong with you? He said, yeah, really is. I'm really down and out. It's been a rough year. It's just almost more than I can take. But he said as they were flying along and he was looking out the window, God spoke to him, and here's what he said. And this really, really meant something to me too. He said, when we are living in fear, if you're living in fear, and today the world is living in a lot of fear. We got COVID, we got wars, rumors of wars, things going on around us at a local level that almost to the point where we can become terribly fearful, almost to the point of where we are totally immobilized, okay? But here's what he said. If you're living in fear, you're waiting to see what Satan's going to do next. If you're living in faith, and that's where we should be, you're waiting to see what God's going to do next. Big difference, right? I'm just waiting to see what God's going to do next, okay? That's what we need to be doing. Okay, but when these things happen, we know that it can be very harmful to us. But 1 Kings, you remember Elijah? I'm just touching that a minute. The story of Elijah, all the prophets of Baal came against him, and he looked a little bit outnumbered. I don't know about you, but it looked like it to me. Okay, and what happened? He did exactly what God wanted him to do. He stood strong, and God sent down fire. Elijah called down fire, and God sent down fire and destroyed, remember, all of the prophets of Baal were in big trouble. God is fighting our battles. We just need to be armed and ready, okay, as a warrior. The last thing I'm going to quickly look at, if you get to a place where you're dealing with deep confusion, I don't know what's right, what's wrong, what's real, what isn't. In today's world, do you really think you know and can easily watch things and see things and know what's real anymore? Isn't it kind of hard? I'll tell you, Satan is using this big time. You hear it? Virtual reality. Remember what the Bible says is going to happen? There's going to be a time when society is going to call good evil and evil good, right? And they're going to use everything they can. Satan is going to use everything he can, all of your technology, to make you believe something is real when it's not. Okay, how effective that is in our world today. There are things going on that we do not even understand. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So let me ask you, how are you going to determine? We need to seek God's word and God's truth. Have His Holy Spirit working in our lives to help us discern truth from error. Okay? So those are a few things, but I'm going to just read... It says here, God is not the author of confusion. Okay, that is in 1 Corinthians 14:33. So remember, when you start getting confused about what you should do or what's going on, can't figure it out, and you are getting a lot of condemnation, have you ever had anybody condemn you for what you said or what you're doing? even though you know in your heart it's absolutely the right thing to do, there are still people going to be condemning you and mocking you, okay? But he's not the author of confusion, okay, but of peace. And then it says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:1. How much is there? None. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation for you. But if you have not put your trust and faith in Jesus, the Bible says you're condemned already. You need to change that. You need to get on his side, okay? You need to be in God's army, okay? So, we've only got a few minutes, so what I'm going to do is I don't want to leave you there. I just want you to know if you will, let me just find it here. I believe I have it here. Is this it? Okay. Now, I'm going to go back just quickly. I'm going to read this for you. It is John 10:10, and it says, the thief, talking of Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. So that's the characteristics of Satan. Okay, that's his goal. Doesn't that sound like a nice guy? His whole goal is to kill God's creation and God's people especially. Okay, if you're not a Christian, you're in trouble. I want you to know, if you have not put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ, Satan is winning the battle in your life. You need to get on the winning team. And it says here that I have come that they might have life. Now we're talking about the other side, Jesus. Quite a contrast. One is to kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus said, I have come to give life. And I want you to have it and have it the very best way that you can live. Very abundantly. Okay, now we'll go on here. Okay, now we won't close here, but we're just about done. I want to give you a few things you need to do to be ready. If we had a little more time, which we don't, there's a few more things I would mention to you, but I will just do them quickly. One of the things we need to do if we're going to go into battle and be a good soldier in God's army, we need to put on some armor, right? Everybody's familiar here. I'm sure you're all familiar with Ephesians 6, 11 through 17, talking about the armor of God. This is not a physical, a physical armament, okay? It's a spiritual armament. And when you get time to look through it, oh, here's the picture I was looking for. I want you to notice that this soldier has a lot of items for protection. There's some things you need to do for protection, okay? He has a helmet of salvation. He needs something to protect his mind. And you know what? That's a vital thing, right? You know you've been saved. You need the helmet to protect you, okay? Salvation, righteousness. Now, I want you to know something. That's not talking about your righteousness. That's talking about the righteousness that Jesus Christ provided for us if we are in him, okay? Our righteousness is in Christ. But I just want to quickly tell you that each one of those, they have a purpose to protect that soldier in battle. They're mostly defense, but someone tell me which one isn't defense. Which one? The sword. Good job. Okay, that's to go on the offense with. You can't win a battle just with defense. You got to have a weapon. And I'm not talking about an AK-14 or these kind of things. We're talking about a spiritual battle. And the sword is the word of God. It is powerful. Isn't that what the Bible says? It says it's stronger than any what? Two-edged sword. It cuts both ways, right? But it's even stronger, okay? Get on your armor. If you're going out this week and you know you're going into battle spiritually, get your armor on. Take time to get it on. Okay? Prayer. You better understand how much we each need prayer in our lives. That is something that God invites us to do. Come on, let's talk. You know what? He hears you, and just talk to him in, you know, in a way that he already knows that you're being sincere. Okay? It's not just a repeated prayer that you have. He wants to know what you're struggling with. Okay? The Bible says to pray without ceasing, always being conscious of the fact that I need God to give me some answers. It doesn't mean you have to always pray down on your knees. You can be driving down the road and say, God, I don't know what to do. I need something now. You can pray with your eyes wide open. Right? I need some answers. Okay? Prayer is very important. It says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray for each other. If you want to do something good for your brother and sister in Christ, pray for them. Don't fire darts at their back or at their front. Then you're helping the other team. You need to stay in God's army and keep working for Him. Okay? That's in Ephesians 6:18, James 5:16. Quickly now, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Sometimes we don't realize how much we can accomplish through prayer. Okay? So prayer. Number four, His Word. Have His Word hidden in your heart. It says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It helps me and you see where our heart is. You want to know where your heart is? Get into God's Word. He'll say, I didn't realize I was, this is where I'm at. That's what helps us. And if you want to know the truth, you filter it through there. I've always said I would just love to have a coffee maker. You know, you pour the coffee in and it filters out the grounds and you get pure coffee. Boy, that's good. I always said, wouldn't it be nice if we had something we could just pour everything we hear and everything we see through it and it just comes out the truth, that's all that comes out the other side. You know what? We have it. It's right here. If you're not sure if it's true or false, you need to know God's Word. The more you get familiar with it, the easier that will become, okay? Some things are very quickly realized it's wrong. Power of praise. We come here each Sunday. We have a worship service. And when we're praising God, I want you to know that Satan says, I'm out of here. I ain't having no part of this deal. If that's what they're going to do is praise him, I'm gone. It's a very effective tool. Okay? Very effective. Okay? So just a few things it says here. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Psalms 22:3, this is a great verse, says, He inhabits the praises of His people. When we praise God, He's here enjoying it all with us. Thank you. Okay? Two more. Our obedience. We need to remain obedient to the one who's already won the battle. Okay? How many of you here today struggle with being obedient? We all do, right? We all do. People don't like other people telling us what to do. Anybody ever struggle with that? I don't like that. That's not what I want. It's not my idea. I'm not doing it. Okay? Maybe God needs to help us work on our obedience a little bit. Totally to Him. But it says here, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Remember what Jesus did? What did Satan do after that? He left. Resist the devil. But we need to submit ourselves to God to be able to do that. excuse me, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." We could spend a whole sermon on taking every thought captive. I could put a thought in your mind today. It don't have to even be a bad thought. And it takes your brain a certain amount of time to process it, and certainly to be able to just say, "Ah, I'm going to put that out of my mind." You want me to do a test? Would you like to do a test? I'll give you a test. I'm going to say something, but right after I say it, I want you to forget it. I don't want you to even think about it no more. I don't want you to hear, you know, nothing. Okay? Okay. The earth is flat. Okay, now I don't want you to think about that no more. Everybody forgot that? Huh? You see, Satan can put the most subtle things in your mind, and you sometimes have a hard time forgetting it, and he knows that. And he wants that to begin to process and begin to have an effect on your thinking and all that. So the battle we're in, guys, I'm going to sum it up right now. The battle is for your mind, your heart, and your soul. That's what it's about. Satan wants them all. But we don't want to be a part of that. If you haven't totally put your trust in Jesus today, I want you to know Satan has a foothold on your life. And if something doesn't change, he will achieve his goal. And I want you to know what his goal is to destroy every human being he can and never see them come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? The upside is we are under the blood of Christ. If you're one of his, it says, "For the word of God, or for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing," the ones that aren't saved, it's a bunch of baloney. "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." That's what we have to rely on. And we need to be courageous. Be courageous. Press on. Fight the good fight. Run the race. Don't drop out of the race. Stay in the race. Keep your eye on the goal. Paul said, "I'm running the race. I'm fighting the good fight." And as he got close to the end of what he thought was the end of his days, what did he say? "I'm no longer running it. I'm no longer fighting it. I've already fought it, and I've already ran it. My days are up." I want you to know, my days are only going to be so long. Yours are only going to be so long. We're in a race. We need to keep running the race. Don't be discouraged. God's already won it. Don't you want to be in the winning team? Every time I got picked for a team, I know people that were, we'd have two guys picking players for a team. And I know people, because I've seen it happen again and again, that would say, "See, how's it looking? How's it looking? How's it looking? Oh, I'm pretty sure they're going to pick me and I'm going to be on the losing side. You tell you what, guys, I don't want to play. I'm serious. I just won't play." Now, if it's they sized it up and said, "Oh, we're definitely on the winning team now," yeah, I want to play. I want you to know you're on the winning team. We're going to win only because of Christ and what he did on the cross. In the meantime, we are soldiers in a battle, and we need to keep fighting the good fight, running the race. Okay? And I pray today that that's what you will do. If you're not fighting the good fight, not running the good race, your life is in turmoil, listen, we can pray for you, we can talk to you, we can do everything we can. We need to do that for each other. But thank you for letting me go over for a few minutes, and I just pray that you will examine your life this week, and we need to be good soldiers. We need to have good fighting skills, okay? Get in God's words, pray, okay? Thank you. And let's just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a time that we can come here and come here with freedom to serve you. And God, may we understand that we're in a battle. And we know there's a war going on and that we are being attacked so often. But God, help us to be good soldiers and to put on the armor that we need so desperately to be able to fight the battle. And I just pray for the ones today who are suffering in any way and that can't be here. God, we just pray for them. And we just pray that as we leave here today, we'll be encouraged that we're already on the winning team. We just need to be good soldiers. We ask this all in your precious name. Amen.